Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
Friends, thanks so much for joining us for worship. My name is Reverend John Reynolds, and it's my honor to welcome you to service this day. If this is your first time with us, we're so glad that you decided to make this your spiritual home. And if you've been watching throughout the pandemic online, we're so grateful to have you back. As we begin our worship service, we hope that you'll take a moment to visit our website, www.brightonfumc.org. There you can do several things, one of which is you can fill out a digital connection card and let us know that you are with us in worship this morning. Beyond that, we would love for you to fill out. There are several events and experiences taking place in the next couple of weeks, and we would love to get you more connected to our church by filling out that connection card. It is the way to get more involved in activities here at the church. In addition to that, you can go to the prayer tab. There's lots of different ways that our congregation can be in prayer for you and your family. We encourage you to fill out a prayer card if you're interested in having us pray for you or somebody that you care deeply about. Finally, we're continuing a sermon series this morning about invitation, about welcoming people into this body of Christ and enfolding them into this family of God. We would love to invite you to do something that should be pretty easy, whether you're watching on Facebook or YouTube. Just beneath me right here is an arrow that goes up and to the right. It's an easy way for you to share on your social media platform that this service is taking place, and you never know who in your social network might be interested in listening and participating and enjoying this worship service this morning. With that, we'll continue our worship series this morning about being invited, about welcoming people into this body of Christ. Let us worship God together this day.
I'm Liz Hoover. Please join me in the opening prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to worship you as followers of Jesus. We are his living disciples today. Walk beside us and help us accept your call to go forward and spread his message of love to all. In your name we pray. Amen. The scripture lesson today is from Mark chapter 6, verses 6 to 13. Then Jesus went about among the villages teaching. He called the 12 and began to send them out two by two, and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He ordered them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. He said to them, "Wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave the place. If any place will not welcome you and they refuse to hear you, as you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them." So they did. They went out and proclaimed that all should repent. They cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Please join me in prayer. Oh, holy and loving God, as we gather for this great day of worship, we praise your name. We praise you for being with us. We praise you for being present in our time of worship and praise. Thank you, God, for the songs we've sung, the prayers we've prayed, the scripture we've heard. O loving Lord, may now the words of my mouth, may the meditations of all of our hearts, may it be pleasing in your sight, you God, who are our rock and our Redeemer. And now, Lord, may you speak through me and to me that your word, the gospel, may be heard this day. In Christ's holy name we pray. Amen. Well, this morning in worship, we are continuing our sermon series called You're Invited. In this series, we are studying scripture passages that encourage us to accept the invitation Jesus offers to each of us, which is to know him and love him and to serve him. And we're also exploring scripture passages that invite us to live a life of being invitational people, to invite others into the life of the faith, and to invite others into our faith community. So last week, we looked at a scripture passage of Jesus calling the first four of the disciples to join him in ministry. There were two sets of brothers. They were two fishermen that were by trade. Jesus first called Simon Peter and Andrew, and then he called James and John. And out on the water, out at the Sea of Galilee, Jesus called these brothers to know him and to love him and to serve him. And up from the seashore, when they were called, they came, they dropped their nets, they started new careers, leaving behind their old careers of fishing, and even waving goodbye to the family to join Jesus' movement of making fishers of men. Last week, if you were in person at our Brighton campus or at our Whitmore Lake campus, then we invited you to take home a package of goldfish crackers. And goldfish crackers, to remind us to be fishers of men and to share these crackers with someone. And attached to the crackers was a flyer of upcoming children's ministry event opportunities. You could stop by the church at our Brighton campus to pick up one of these during the weekday. And on the flyer, a couple of things to note is that September 12th, we're going to have a ministry event called Backpacks, Bibles, and Bounce Houses. We're going to bless the backpacks of kids at our 9:30 and at our 11 o'clock worship services. We're going to share Bibles with our kindergartners and our third graders. And then we're going to enjoy some bounce house fun all morning long between 9:30 and 1:30. You're welcome to come and bounce when you're not in worship. And last week, we invited folks to take these crackers and these flyers to extend an invite. Come pick one up if you haven't received one. And extend an invite to somebody that might like to be a part of this, because Jesus calls us and challenges us to become invitational disciples. So I hope you'll extend some invites to grandkids or kids or church kids or neighborhood kids that you know to be a part of these events. This morning, as we are continuing this sermon series called You're Invited, we are turning to another scripture passage. It's about Jesus sending disciples out into the world to make disciples of fishers of men, to continue this calling. And this morning, we're turning to the gospel lesson. And as you do, as you hear the gospel lesson from Mark chapter 6, verses 6 through 13, I would invite you to listen with an open heart and with an open mind that God might speak through this scripture. Let's hear this scripture lesson. Then Jesus went about from village to village teaching. He called the 12 and he began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He ordered them to take nothing for their journey except a staff. No bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. Then Jesus said to them, whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that place. And if any place will not welcome you and they refuse to hear you, as you leave, shake the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them. So they went out and they proclaimed that all that should repent. And they cast out demons and they anointed with oil many who were sick and they cured them. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So when the disciples went out, they kind of went out in Noah's Ark fashion, going two by two. And Jesus then gave them specific instructions as they went out. They're not to take anything extra with them. No extra baggage. No comforts from home. Not even bread should they bring with them. And they're supposed to head out two by two into the world to make disciples, minister in his name to help those in need, to heal those that are sick. And taking nothing with them, it kind of sounds like this call to minimalist living. But rather than a call to minimalist living, I think it's a call for depending upon the hospitality and the generosity and the love of others. Without bread in hand or an extra item that they might take and need for their journey, the disciples went forth to make fishers of men, relying upon the kindness, the generosity, the hospitality, and the love of others that they would meet. They would enter the doors of houses that would welcome them, and then they would shake the dust off from others of their feet if they were not welcomed. Now, sometimes the disciples would be invited into a home, and other times they would find themselves that they weren't welcomed, that their invitation was not received, so they'd shake off that dust and they'd continue on to the next home. The instructions that they give, that they were received, the instructions that the disciples received were very clear. It clearly names, it clearly outlines that sometimes they would be welcomed and received. Sometimes their invitation, it would be accepted, but other times it wouldn't be. Sometimes their invitation, for whatever reason, it wouldn't be accepted, and they were to press on in their journey. They were to continue on. They were supposed to continue the ministry, the work of being fishers of men. They were to continue serving in Jesus' name, even if their invitation was declined. The gospel lesson this morning tells the story of almost this going door-to-door experience. It kind of reminds me of different people that I've encountered that have come up to my door at various times throughout my life and knocked on my door and asked if I know Jesus and asked if I'd like to convert to their religious tradition. Perhaps you've had somebody also knock on your door at some point in time and ask if you know Jesus or ask if they can share the faith. There's even been really good musicals that I've loved that have been written about faith communities that have this approach to sharing their faith tradition. And while some folks are comfortable taking this faith tradition on of literally walking door to door and knocking on homes to share faith and then move along to the next home, other folks are kind of uncomfortable with this form, this method of faith sharing. I have to admit that I'm not so comfortable going house to house necessarily to share my faith with random persons I meet for the very first time and just by knocking on their door. And while the gospel lesson shares a story that kind of illustrates this way of faith sharing, it really is outside of my comfort zone, if I'm honest. Is it outside of your comfort zone as well? Well, here's why it's kind of uncomfortable to me, because I think something key is missing. I think something foundational is missing if we only embrace this method of faith sharing. I think what's missing is relationships. Without relationships with others first, I believe it's more challenging to share about our own faith. Or I think it's more challenging to invite others to church without first having relationships with somebody. I think that we maybe are more timid to share, but I also think that people aren't always as receptive to listening or hearing what we might have to say or less receptive to receiving our invitation. Without relationships first, I think people aren't always as interested. United Methodists are really good at keeping statistics. Every year we report our statistics to Charge Conference. We record numbers and share numbers and keep track of things such as church demographics and our average worship attendance. We keep track of things like the number of children who participated in Vacation Bible School, etc. Well, United Methodists really like to track and keep proper record to know from where we've come and to kind of have a sense of where we're going. Well, last week in worship, if you were in person at our Brighton campus or if you worshiped online, then you know that Pastor John shared a statistic, one of our great United Methodist statistics that we like to keep track of. And in case you missed the statistic, I want to share it with you because I find it particularly interesting. Pastor John shared that on average, a United Methodist churchgoer invites someone to church with them once every 37 years. So if the average life expectancy is around 80 years, then the average United Methodist churchgoer is going to invite someone twice, two times in their lifetime. Now, I find this a little surprising. I was kind of surprised by the statistics. Some of the statistics, not so much, but I was kind of surprised. And it made me wonder, why don't we invite people to church more often? You know, is there something scary about inviting people to church? How come we don't do it more often? Well, if sharing our faith requires that we only take on one method of going door to door, then I suppose that can count a lot of people out from wanting to share their faith. I doubt that there's very many people that are worshiping online with us or are in person at our Brighton or Whitmore Lake campuses that often go door to door knocking to tell about Jesus or to share about their faith. If that's our only method, then I'm sure our statistic's going to stay true that our average United Methodists make an invite once every 37 years. But if we have another approach, if there are more and different ways about sharing our faith, about inviting people to church, then maybe our average can improve a little bit. So I want you to think for a moment. When I say the word evangelism, what do you think of? When you hear evangelism, what first comes to mind? People sometimes have a variety of reactions by hearing the word evangelism. Sometimes people even call it the scary E word because it comes with such a loaded context. But in the end, evangelism is about sharing some good news. It's about sharing the gospel, which means good news. And when I think about who I really like to share good news with, it's rarely random strangers that I meet, and it's certainly not my method of sharing good news by going door to door and knocking to share my good news. But instead, I love to share good news that I have with my family, with my friends, with church family members. I love to share good news with people that I have close relationships with. The people that know me, the people that love me and care about me, the people that are most interested and receptive to hearing the good news I might have to share with them. Which then kind of leads me back around to the point I was trying to make about relationships. I believe that it's more challenging to share about our faith or invite others to church if we don't have relationships. And I think it's more challenging for people to be receptive and to listen to what we have to say. But if we have relationships with people, then they're more receptive, they're more open to hearing about how God's working in our lives or accepting an invitation to come to church with us. Now, I marvel at the gospel lesson, and I take seriously this approach that Jesus has in sending the disciples out two by two, but I don't think it's the only approach to evangelism. It's not the only approach to good news sharing. It's not the only approach to sharing of faith. I think that throughout Jesus' ministry, he was very relational. And I think that he also took on this great relationship-oriented approach to sharing the faith, not just sending them out and knocking on doors. In fact, Jesus spent 3 years in ministry mentoring and building relationships. He spent 3 years in ministry living with those 12 disciples who traveled with them. And throughout time and throughout relationship, throughout those years, they spent time together getting to know one another, learning from their dear friend, Jesus. So this model of sharing faith can also expand and be built upon relationships. To extend invites, to be a part of the faith, it's founded on relationship. But even when we share our faith from a deep place of relationship with others, we have to admit that not every invitation is going to be accepted. So now what? So what happens when our invitation is declined, even to our friends and our dear friends? Now what? What happens if they say no? What does God want us to do then? How do we remain invitational and not get discouraged if our invitation isn't accepted? I've been thinking a lot about the answers to these questions this week, and it had me thinking a lot about seeds. I'm reminded that extending invitations is a lot of like sowing seeds. I think Jesus had a lot to say to us about sowing seeds. As he taught amongst a great crowd, there was a parable of a sower that Jesus shared. It's found in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13, verses 3 through 9. I want you to hear this parable, as seeds could speak to us a lot about the variety of outcomes we might experience when we're extending invitations, when we're sharing our faith. So let's turn now to this lesson, the parable of the good sower. Jesus says, "Listen. A sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and they ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly since they had no depth of soil, but then the sun rose, and they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds, they fell amongst the thorns. The thorn grew up and it choked them." But then other seeds fell on the good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30. Let everyone with ears listen. So when we plant seeds, we can't always help where they're going to fall. We never know where the wind might take them or what planting conditions might exactly be like. We don't always know if there's going to be animals that are going to transplant the seeds to another location. We might plant seeds and a squirrel might dig them up and carry them away, or we might plant a seed and a bird scoops it up and carries it away into a different location. When we plant seeds, we can't always help where they're going to fall. We can't always determine what the environmental factors are going to be like or what the weather conditions might turn out to be. But what we do know is that it's still our job to keep sowing seeds. Our job continues to be to extend invites. Our job is sowing seeds and in realizing that some of those seeds that we sow are going to go on a path that's eaten by birds. Some will go on rocky soil that's going to spring up quickly without depth. Some seeds might be sown and they might go amongst the thorns and they might be choked by the thorns. And yet, some seeds might find themselves amongst good soil, bringing forth bountiful grain. So we never know where those seeds might go or how they might grow, but we are called to still continue that work of planting seeds. And then God does the watering, and then God helps them grow. So I have a packet of seeds. These are some carrot seeds. Help grow some carrots. And everybody who's in person at our Brighton campus or at our Whitmore Lake campus is going to receive a packet of seeds. I'd encourage you, if you're watching online, to stop by our Brighton campus sometime this week to pick up a packet of seeds. And you're invited to take them home. And may these seeds be a little reminder to you and an encouragement to you to keep planting, to sprinkle them wherever you go, here and there, letting God water them and helping them grow. And as you take a packet of seeds, as you come in and bring them home, may the packet of seeds represent and symbolize each invitation you might make and put out before a loved one or before a friend or before a dear coworker that you have a good relationship with or before a neighbor or somebody in the church community that you have a strong relationship with that you haven't seen. May these seeds symbolize invitations that you're going to make. And as you take a packet of seeds, or if you have some at home, if you look at them, may you be reminded that sometimes your invites will be accepted. Sometimes they may be declined, but not to worry. Because there's more and more seeds in your packet, more and more invites to share, more and more opportunities ahead of more seeds to sprinkle here and there. You never know where the seeds might go or how it might grow, but God calls us to just keep planting and sharing the invites. So no, you don't have to go door to door, but instead start with your loved ones. Those you love dearly, start from a place of relationship and invite them to come join you and be a part of something that you love and you celebrate about our church. Invite them to a mission that you cherish. Invite them to choir or praise band. Invite them to a children's ministry. Invite them to your small group, or invite them to church softball, or to United Methodist women's circles, or invite them to worship. There's a space and a place waiting for them. We will gladly welcome them and celebrate your invites among us. So now may we go forth to plant some seeds and see where they might grow and see where they might go. Amen.
Greetings. Greg Geis here. I am one of the lay servants at Brighton First United Methodist Church. It's great to be worshiping with you. We're talking about invitation, and there's something that is very inviting about a nice tropical setting, hence the tropical shirt. And I was even able to find a Wile E. Coyote tie to go with it. Now, if you're worshiping with us for the first time, I hope that you'll come back again. And if you've been worshiping with us online, I do look forward to worshiping with you live on Sunday sometime. Won't you please join me in an attitude of prayer? Great God in heaven, we gather to worship you and praise your holy name. You are Jehovah Jireh, Lord and provider, taking care of our needs. You are Jehovah Rapha, Lord and healer, repairing our brokenness. You are Jehovah Rohi, Lord and shepherd, leading us from evil. Thank you for sending your Son to show us the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus sent disciples with a sense of urgency to share your good news. Jesus sent disciples with nothing so they would trust you for their needs. Jesus sent disciples in pairs to share comfort, encouragement, and strength. Encourage our sharing the good news, trusting you, and supporting each other. Transform us so we avoid copying behaviors and customs of this world. Transform us so we have patience in troubled times with continuous prayer. Transform us so we avoid becoming proud by forgetting your wisdom. Everything comes from you, exists only by your power, and is for your glory. Help us invite others to experience your redeeming, undeserved kindness. Help us invite others to know the peace of being made right through faith. Help us invite others to have the joy of forgiveness offered as a free gift. Thank you for sending your Holy Spirit as an advocate for us. We want to do what is right, but can't without your Holy Spirit. We want to experience the joy and peace your Holy Spirit gives. We don't know what to pray and need guidance from your Holy Spirit. We live in a fallen world with pain and suffering from natural and human disasters. Remind us to truly love our neighbors so we do no wrong to others. Remind us to live decent lives so all can see your comforting presence. Remind us to always honor you, for someday we will account for our lives. We are grateful that Jesus opened the door for direct relationships with you. In one voice, we give glory to the only wise God with the prayer Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Happy trails.
Friends, I want to let you know that this week we are sending two prayer quilts off to two individuals Vicki and Nancy, and we encourage you to take a moment and extend your hand as an expression of your support of God's care in the midst of this time. Will you join me now in a time of prayer? Gracious and loving God, we pray that these two quilts for Vicki and Nancy would provide for them warmth and comfort, encouragement in the midst of this time of grief. We pray that in the midst of everything that's going on in their lives, that they would experience the love and support that comes through your Son, Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit. May they feel the prayers and may they know the comfort that this congregation extends their way. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Friends, there are so many ways that we can respond to all of the good things that God is doing in our life, but one of them is through the giving of our tithes and our offerings. And we invite you to visit our website. It's so easy to give online. You can text to give. You can go to PayPal and give to First United Methodist Church of Brighton and Whitmore Lake. And you can go to our website and create an online giving portal that you can give electronically using your checking account or through credit cards and debit cards. We're so grateful for all of the incredible gifts that have come in over the course of this time that we've been together online, and we're so grateful for your continued support. In addition to giving tithes and offerings, you can also give missional gifts through the website. Just let us know what you'd like to give to, and we can make sure that the gift goes to our appropriate mission partners. Thank you so much for your generosity and for the ways in which your gifts will make an impact for the kingdom of God. Amen.
Good morning, Brighton First United Methodist Church. My name is Mark Phelps. I'm the executive director of Samaritan Counseling Center of Southeastern Michigan. And I've stopped by virtually to say thank you. Three thank yous. One, thank you for hosting two of Samaritan's satellite offices for all these years. One at the Brighton UMC Church building and the other at your Whitmore Lake campus. Between those two offices, every year, somewhere around 800 hours of counseling and psychotherapy are logged. That's significant. You're helping your community that way, and I know they appreciate it. The second thank you is for loaning us Dr. MJ Wickens. Dr. Wickens is a bright, wonderful addition to our board of directors. She's full of wonderful ideas. She's full of fun and vitality, and she loves to joke with me and tease me, and we just have a good relationship. And I appreciate her very much, and I want to say thank you again. She's doing wonderful service for the communities that we serve in Southeastern Michigan through her board service. So thank you for that. She's a great addition. And then the third thank you is for your prayer and financial partnership. Thank you for those things. It reminds me of the story of the Good Samaritan. Your partnership does. In that story, there are several characters. We always look to the Good Samaritan as an example of how to do life in Christ. There's somebody that the Samaritan trusts, too. Somebody that the Samaritan knows he can bring the wounded to, the innkeeper. And as much as I'd like to say that Samaritan Counseling Center was named after the Good Samaritan, that's not really who we are. That's who you are. We're the innkeepers. But what you do is so important, because without your trust, without your financial support, making sure that we have what we need to care for the people that you bring to us or send to us, we couldn't do what we do. And the ripples of hope that get sent out through your community because of what you do to make sure that we can do what we do, those ripples just keep going on for years and years. Ripples of hope and health and wellness and healing. So I wanted to say thank you for that as well. And I wanted to bring to mind, you may not be aware of it, but one of the things that it's so important for us to be able to do is to serve those who really cannot afford high quality counseling and psychotherapy. And the way that we do that is with a special fund, designated funds that we call our Client Assistance Fund. And the Client Assistance Fund supplements what clients are able to afford, or perhaps what Medicaid is able to pay, supplements those dollars so that clients can afford the high quality services that they receive at Samaritan Counseling Center. I want to encourage you to look into that. Look into the Client Assistance Fund. Give us a call at Samaritan Counseling Center, or you can stop by our website, sccmich.org, sccmich.org. I'll give you a minute to write that down. Stop by, click the donate button, and maybe donate some money to the Client Assistance Fund. It needs to be replenished every year, and all of those dollars are designated, set aside, so that they all go to that fund. And I want to say thank you in advance for that. I guess that's a fourth thank you. Thank you for being patient with that. Oh, that's a fifth thank you. I better stop while I'm ahead. I hope you have a wonderful Sunday. Cheers.
One, two, one, two, three, four.
This time of worship together, I would just have this one reminder to stop in the Brighton campus to pick up some seeds if you don't already have some. May they be that reminder and that call for us to continue planting seeds and extending invites, especially starting first with our loved ones and dear friends, starting to share our faith from a place of relationship. Go forth now this day with love of God always with you, that the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ empowering you, and the presence of the Holy Spirit guiding you along your faith journey. May you go forth to love God, to know God and to serve God with your whole heart. Go forth this day. Amen.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You were invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.